We're here today to talk about AI coding with investing. One firm is out saying, hey, we're utilizing AI coding and investing. We know how robots are taking over the world, and he hears to talk about it today, how he's achieving a 2.5% return a month and 30% return a year using AI on the market. So you guys and girls, stay tuned. We're going to talk about that 2023 market outlook, AI coding, things like that coming into the market. Y'all stay tuned right here. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, you are now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado, via the lovely city and state of Honolulu, Hawaii. If you haven't done so already, please hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. As you heard me say before, I don't know why I'm tripping up today live, but as you heard me say before, and how you saw me say in the intro, 30% return on investment using AI automated trading. Now, we've heard of this, but how many of us have actually seen this? Then especially, you know, we've seen all these trying to tricky things come out on the market. We had a bad market last year in 2022, but that's why I'm here today with the CEO of Tatrus Capital, Mr. Mana Tatrus. He has a very extensive background, AUM 50, multi-millions of dollars. I'm going to let him explain that to you. He's down in Tampa Bay, Florida, and he's utilizing, and Tatrus Capital is utilizing AI trading to trade the market, and they're doing pretty well. So we got to look up under the hood here and see what Mana got going on there. Without further ado, let me introduce my guest, Mana Tatrus. How you doing today, sir?
Pretty good. Prince, thank you so much for having me. First and foremost, obviously cool name. So I think this is going to continue to serve you well, I'm sure.
Definitely. So your name comes across my desk, Tatrus Capital, using AI, automated AI trading to essentially beat the market. Because, you know, last year, the S&P 500 suffered the worst year since the 2008 market crash. You know, I think we ended the year somewhere between 20 to 30% down. I can't remember off the top of my head what it exactly ended at, but it wasn't a good year at all on the market. But here you are. You're saying that you use automated trading, right? You have an algorithm that you use for trading, and you are achieving 2.5% returns a month. How does this happen? Explain this to us.
Yeah. So it's a lot of small moving parts, but I'll give you the gist of it. For the most part, the first and foremost thing that we do is we short the market, right? So we can't possibly achieve these returns if we don't short the market. For anyone who's not familiar with shorting the market, basically we're betting against the market. So when the market goes down, we make money. And this type of investing isn't just available for hedge funds. It's available for any retail investor, any retail trader. You can open your Robinhood app, your Webull app, TradeStation app, and simply start looking into inverse ETFs. We ourselves don't use inverse ETFs. We use we simply short the market in different manners using our algos. But as far as how that's accomplished, you have to be willing to short. You cannot be recession-proof without shorting. Of course, the algo basically takes shorting and does it in intraday trades. But that's essentially our bread and butter, the ability to short where others aren't. So that's our biggest edge, I think.
Okay, so how many years have you guys been at this?
Since 2019.
Okay.
First, it was a partnership, and then we incorporated in 2020, just to clarify.
Okay. So for the last two years, essentially, you know, we had a pretty beginning of the year of 2020 start off very bullish. You know, it turned around and turned into a bear. 2021 was pretty bullish as well. You know, 2022 was a bear. Do you think you achieved these returns betting against the market because we had a bad market last year?
So we achieve comparable returns irrespective of market conditions. If markets are going up, as long as there's volatility, then, you know, we can still go along. And if markets go down, we just still make comparable returns, except we tend to stand out a little bit more. So as far as do we have an edge if markets are bullish or bearish, I don't really think so. We treat every asset as its own independent asset. So as long as there's volatility, as long as it's moving, then we're good to go. If it's ranging sideways, then that could be a little problematic. There's no movement. We're just going to stall for a little bit. But as long as there's a movement in any direction, whether bullish or bearish, we're good to go.
Now, what is the difference between, is it just only for the stock market, S&P 500? Can you utilize this AI technology for Forex, or could you use this for cryptocurrencies and those type of spaces? Is it good for any type of trading, option trading, whatever, or is it just done for just mostly just the market?
We can deploy it on any exchange or broker traded asset. The only thing is it behaves differently based on the volatility of the asset. So the parameters behind the algo will be different. So the stop loss will be different, the profit will be different, but we trade on anything. And currently we do not run it on equities. We don't want to run it on equities because when we run it on equities, basically it means we can only make money from 9:30 to 4 p.m. because that's where liquidity happens. But we actually trade it on almost everything else. Natural gas, oil, forex, for the most part, we focus on the major forex. The indexes, love the indexes, basically equities exposure, except around the clock. And of course, crypto. And for the most part, we've been shorting crypto. So it's as long as there's an exchange traded asset or broker traded asset, we can run it on it. So it's very, very scalable. It's not designed for a specific asset or specific asset class. It's not dependent on news. It's purely mathematical. So it's very straightforward.
Now, so that seems to be your edge, that you have this technology algorithm that you're able to trade the markets with. Now, is this algorithm, let's say, updated, or is it just push and go and just forget about it?
Oh, so it's updated very frequently. I mainly check the code for different bugs, different issues, different improvements. But as far as how it's deployed autonomously. So I check it, make sure, there are no errors that pop up. And if there are errors, obviously I address it, but it does all the trades by itself. And it includes stop losses with the orders, and it includes take profits with the orders, which is also another edge that we have, but it's not a proprietary edge. Anyone can include stop losses, but people just don't for some reason, which is half the battle. Stop your losses, improve your risk management. That alone will put more money in your pocket, whether or not you have a better strategy.
Okay. And for people out there who don't know what stop loss is, he's talking about when you put on a trade that you stop out, it pretty much sells the stock for you to minimize losses. So my thing is, now when you look at the invasion of the computer, right, you're seeing McDonald's go fully automated. You're seeing trucks go fully automated. All these things are going automated. Let's say if your firm, you have, you're using AI coding, and let somebody tunes in and says, hey man, that's a good idea, and everybody mimics you, then it kind of becomes the battle of the machines. What does that happen when you're talking about scalability with AI in the markets?
It's a great question, and it's a fear that a lot of people are having. And initially I was wondering how will that affect us long term, because we've had an edge for some time, but what's going to happen 5-10 years from now? I think AI, like you said, will definitely be used more, except we use it very differently. For example, our model, what is AI, right? What is automated? What is it thinking about? Our model does not use an indicator. So even if someone uses AI, odds are they're going to use indicators. And I've seen a lot of, on different forums and blogs, that people brainstorm ideas and stuff. No one's using what we're using, to the best of my knowledge. How they are using AI is basically using traditional indicators, except they're adding that AI component to find better parameters. So they'll use the MACD, moving averages, and RSI, all the ones that you see. Whereas with us, we don't use those. So we still have the upper hand. Ours is purely mathematical. And the reason why we've elected not to do that is because indicators lag, right? So let's say you put the MACD or the RSI on the S&P 500 index, you'll see that the signal lags or frequently gives false signals. Because of times where volatility changes, and so it'll range a little bit and accidentally get trigger something. So with us, we don't have to worry about that. So even if someone uses AI, I think we still have the upper hand And of course, when we offer investors 2.5% a month, it means that we're obviously making more than that. So even if someone has some that competitive edge, we can compete comfortably.
Now I'm going to answer this question. How do you think this is affect Wall Street? You know, you're looking at the whole industry itself, which is, hey, you have funds that raise funds, things like that. The whole industry itself that you utilizes all these traders. You got traders across the world that's trading the market. Once you start to introduce the computer and AI, how do you think that will affect and impact the market?
I think all the firms that don't use AI, I think they're simply going to die. It could take them 5 to 10 years. Now, of course, if you're a smart old firm, you should know that ultimately at one point you need to adapt or die, right? So those that are willing to adapt, I think are going to do well, to an extent at least. They'll probably either buy smaller firms, let's say a firm like myself, and we're not for sale, or they're going to try to hire the right talent and adapt. But if they don't, why would someone invest with someone that gives them, you know, 7% a year with a 40% drawdown when they can invest with another firm that gives them a much higher return? So just, you know, these guys tend to be bigger. And so people look at them with respect. All my money's safe. But, you know, unless they adapt, they're going to die in 10 years, I think.
Now, so if a firm listen to this, say, man, you know what, Manna, you're right. I do need to do this. How do you adapt AI into a firm, you know, or do you just say, hey, you could be a fund of a fund? How would you explain that?
Yeah, so it's interesting that you bring that up. It's for 2023, our goal is to partner up with other institutions. And in doing so, I think there are several options. One option, for example, is if they give us their capital, and of course, we won't disclose who our investor is. If they do that, alternatively, we can license our algo, which is something that we have been exploring or have started exploring. We have a few meetings this month, actually, with a few RIAs that I think may be interested in licensing out the algo. And they have much more capital than we have without any leverage. And so it requires a little bit of re-education. And so we're optimistic that in time people will adapt. It just might take a little bit.
Now, let's look at this question here. When you're saying, hey, smaller institutions of people, let's say if you're a regular person, everyday person who's on that Robinhood app who has $5,000, and they're like, wow, you know, I'm working every day. I don't have time to log in and buy Amazon and sell Facebook and buy whatever, right? I don't know what's next, but I will like those returns. What can they do?
So there are several options. Assuming, you know, whenever someone asks me a question like this, I tend to want to ask, well, how much time do you have, right? So if you have if you have like 15 minutes in a day, I think that could be of value. If you don't have any time whatsoever, then there could be another solution that we're trying to come up with. So if you have just a little bit of time, you can easily learn how to code, learn how to trade using your algorithm, and you can simply start this off by tradingview.com. And FYI, I'm not affiliated with them in any way whatsoever. I think a proper developer coder will quickly move well past tradingview.com, but that's how I got started, and then I tried to, automate things a lot more, so we had to move quickly out of tradingview.com. But that's a recommendation as far as how to get started. But if someone, let's say, who wanted to invest with us, unfortunately, we couldn't take their capital. You know, our min investment is $250,000. But we are trying to partner up with a few institutions, possibly a municipality, where we can onboard someone who is not an accredited investor. And we have some interesting ideas. So we'll see if they develop or not. But that is on our radar, and we are trying to do this. And we're not simply trying to make the rich rich. I want to make
everyday people
regular. Exactly. That's our objective, and it'll, I think, be very mutually beneficial. So it's something that we hope we can address this year.
I got a question I want to ask you. So you know what, before we do that, we got to take a quick break. We're going to go on a quick break, and when we come back from this break, I'm going to talk about that process of someone who's maybe listening, who may be an accredited investor, who may be a registered investment advisor, because if you have your Series 65, that qualifies you to be, you know, RIAs and accredited investment advisor. So What is your onboarding process? All of the things. Then we're going to dig a little bit deeper. You know, we got to dig a little bit deeper how this thing works and how this comes out. But you guys and girls, y'all stay locked in here. We're going to take a break. I mean, a very quick break, and we'll be right back here on the Prince of Investment. AI coding in an investing world. 2.5% returns a month, 30% returns a year. It's almost too good to my ears. How do I know it's true? Most of you guys and girls have DM'd me and talked about, we had discussions about the Bernie Madoff documentary that came out. You know, the guy who never lost for 40 years, had a perfect record on Wall Street for 40 years straight, had the best returns, he never lost, right? Until 08, when the market crashed, everybody wanted their money back. The customers wanted their money. And he did not have the money because he never invested the money. He was just printing out fake statements and receipts, giving it to investors. So now, Mana says he can give us 2.5% using AI coding. Now we got to look a little bit, do a little bit more due diligence here, Mana. What do you got to say to someone who says that's impossible? How can you beat the market on a consistent basis? This has red flags all over it. What do you got to say, Mana?
Skepticism is reasonable. There's nothing wrong with it, especially when a new tech product comes out, right? So, of course, the solution is that we have to provide a solution. And I can't think of anything better than to release and show our live trades. So that's what we're doing on our website. And I think that should be done, I think, within a couple of weeks. So we'll run and show the trades for the S&P 500 index, at least that, possibly a few other assets. We just have to be careful about what we share, you know, so that we minimize any risk of someone trying to replicate the trades or doing some reverse engineering. But it's a reasonable point. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with someone bringing it up. You know, unfortunately, some bad actors are ruining it for innovative people like us. But, you know, it's fine. We're happy to address the challenge and come up with a solution for it. And, you know, we have plenty of references that we can share. So if someone wants a reference, more than happy to share that with them, as long as, of course, the investors are okay with it.
So if someone comes to you and says, man, you know what? I am sold. I watched you talking to this goofy guy out in Hawaii, and I want to do business with you. I believe in you and I trust in you. What is the process? How do they do that?
Well, basically, there are three agreements, PPM, subscription agreement, LP agreement, and you know, we make sure the investors are accredited. Right now, we're using Adobe to execute the contracts, but at one point in the future, we've started working on is basically allowing an investor to onboard themselves. All the KYC, AML, OFAC checks, all that stuff is going to be automated through our website rather than manually through service providers. But as long as someone is accredited, very, very, you know, straightforward. They probably know the process. They probably invested in a capacity like this. You know, they just send us the funds and we start trading.
Now, someone, will they have access to their account? Can they look inside of their account at any time? Will they have access? So how does that work?
We're working on setting that up. Right now we've partnered up with InvestNext, which we've already started incorporating on our website. So at one point this year, we're supposed to do it last year, except we've been sidetracked with a few different projects we're working on. But at one point, probably within the next few months, that's going to be available. So someone can just simply log in and they can see all their trades, their accounts, excuse me, not the trades. They can see the balances, the performance, and some information as far as what we trade, how we trade, but we won't share the actual trades just so we minimize any reverse engineering.
Okay. So now someone, if they want to say, hey, man, I want to sit down and watch you do this, can they come to Tampa? Can they come to New York and sit saddle and watch you do this?
Sure. Happy to share my screen. I'll have to add a few things. We don't share who our brokers are because our brokers offer us 500 times leverage. So if we had a regular broker, then of course, you know, it wouldn't have made a difference if he, you know, we could have gone to BTIG, JP Morgan, whoever, nothing proprietary about that. But our brokers are really our partners. They're investors. They're lending us a lot of capital, capital that otherwise would have taken us decades to raise. So for that reason, we don't share with you. But you'll be able to see the platform. You'll be able to see the buying power. You'll be able to see the actual algo. You know, someone comes, I'll let them press the button and they can run it themselves. If someone wants a demonstration, we can easily do fake demo demonstrations from scratch. We're happy to work with, you know, whatever the requirements are of the investor. So
now, is it legal AI trading? You know, that's another thing you got to worry about, the legal risk. Let's say if the SEC comes out and says, Mana, slap on the wrist. We don't like what you're doing down there in Tampa because we don't know what's going on. What do you look at the legal part of that as well?
Yeah, I'll fight it. I think that would be absurd, and I think that would be a little behind. I do have a theory that I think the SEC or someone is going to try to address. I think by definition, they're biased, long only. They don't want people shorting the markets. They don't want, you know, average Joe and Jane to bet against corporate America and corporations. Corporations won't like that. So I'm speculating that as AI becomes more active, as short selling is more active, as people buy inverse ETFs more actively, I'm going to speculate that some type of regulation, someone's going to try to attempt to shut it down. And if that happens, I'm going to move everything overseas completely. We'll still be able to onboard investors. I think there are so many legal ways to do that. In other words, where there's a will, there's a way. But I do think it's an infringement on one's constitutional rights if someone prohibits it.
Okay. Now, when you go into, you spoke about this Outlook 2023. I know we spend so much time talking about AI and coding because I know people want to hear about that. 2023, what's going on with this market? 2022 is a big bear. What's your market outlook for 2023?
It's not very bullish. I think there's a high probability of a recession. Of course, it's not something that we rely on. You know, the algo doesn't take things like this in consideration purposefully. But to answer the question, I'm not bullish at all. I think real estate is going to take a hit. If you follow the Tampa Bay Index, it has started to go down. And I think the national index, of course, has gone down as well for real estate. So I think real estate is going to take a hit. And a recession will take in place. There are some labor shortages in place as well. There's an energy crisis out of Europe. So I think there are multiple factors that could affect recessions, not only in the US, but possibly globally. Anyone who's not shorting doesn't have to, you know, they don't have to invest with us per se, but, you know, you can easily learn how to short yourself. You can easily start buying long inverse ETFs. So there are ways to make money just if someone really, really wants it.
Okay. Now, what would you say to the average person who's tuning into this, listen to this, the millennial? Hey, you know, I have a regular job. What would be your advice to them? What would you have to say to that regular person? Like, hey, I got a regular 9-to-5. I invest a little bit on the side. I tune in to different episodes and shows like this. What would be your advice? What would you do?
Learn how to swing trade inverse ETFs. That's certainly possible. So you don't have to be constantly glued to the TV. You don't have to be constantly glued to your brokerage app. But you must, I can't overemphasize this, put a stop loss. Half of our battle is simply figuring out how to properly use a stop loss as opposed to properly having a strategy. The stop loss is a big, big, big game changer. You know, you can't grow what you can't preserve. So learn how to swing trade inverse ETFs during these recessions. And also I would suggest checking out TradingView, learn how to use different algorithms and different codes. And if you just spend a little bit of time in the beginning, you won't have to spend a lot of time down the line, you know, every day or every hour or anything like that. You can just take it, you know, a few days at a time.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to leave us with before we get out of here?
You know, don't be scared to have contrarian perspectives. If you do what everyone does, you're never going to grow out. If you're willing to take a little bit of a risk and stand out, then that could be very fruitful.
Okay. So when you look at the old school investor that says dollar cost average by S&P 500 index fund and continue to go, what's your thought process with that?
I strongly dislike mean reversion strategies because, you know, something can go down 5%. You think it's a great time to buy. Okay, well, what if it goes down 10%? What if it goes down 15%? What are you going to do? You know, and you know, these mean reversion strategies are I think in part what cause max drawdowns to get triggered. So I'm of the opinion that following the trend is the best way to go. The trend is your friend. So of course, therefore, the next question is how do you quantify the trend? It takes a little bit of practice, a little bit of algorithms, a little bit of indicators, but in time you can quantify the trend and with the help of stop losses. So.
Man, are you saying that we're probably going to have a recession in 2023? What do you have to say that, hey, man, 2022 was the start of the recession. We're already in a recession. What are you talking about, man? Do you think we're already in a recession or you think we're headed towards a recession?
I think we're already in it, but I also think it may continue much worse. And it is, to an extent, a little bit speculative. But, you know, I'm not a too big of a macro guy. So, of course, I could be wrong, and I'm more than happy to be wrong. So I don't mind that at all. But I do think, you know, inflation, how the Feds are reacting with it, how we're printing excess money, it's just not a good recipe. So I think there's a housing bubble as well. So too many things going bad that I think obviously will create some issues.
How do you answer the question that, yes, we have the housing market going down, cryptocurrency is going down, the overall market itself is going down, but you're seeing companies still hiring and still having a labor shortage? How do you make sense of all this? Because some people, they're looking at it as like, hey, my job is hiring, I'm hiring. Talent acquisition, people out there looking for talent, people to come to their organizations. What do you have to say about that? How do you explain the labor market?
I think there's a disconnect, and I was just in a bit earlier today with the Tampa Bay Business Journal, and a few speakers discussed this. I think there's a disconnect between employers and employees. So employers need help. Employees aren't getting compensated properly. And I think, especially because of COVID, I think people have a slightly different mindset, home work-life balance, right? And employers are not quite there yet, unfortunately, and lower pay for some reason. So. I think there's work to be done by both parties, but I have to say it starts with the employer.
So you're saying it's more of the employer not paying the proper wages. That's what's causing the labor shortage?
I think so, to an extent, yeah. And also, you know, offering the right benefits and the right work life balance.
And obviously, me, I think it'll fix itself because, you know, supply and demand. I believe in that, John Adams, laissez-faire, take your hands off of it. And if you are a McDonald's and you want to pay right now, man, you can pay some, put out a job right now for $5 an hour. There's nothing stopping you. And if you do it, then the market is going to tell you, no, you're crazy, right? And you're not going to have anybody. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to go back and say maybe $10, maybe $15, exactly. Maybe $20. Exactly. Then when you start to get increase, then when you start to get people for $20 an hour, then all of a sudden you have a high turnover. Now you're wondering why you have a high turnover. Then you just say, hey, let me go to $30 an hour, maybe 30. So I think the market, it will self-adjust more than anything else. But that's one of the things the Federal Reserve is kind of concerned about. Hey, if we continue to raise interest rates, we want to cool down these other asset classes, but we don't want to kill jobs at the same time. So that's what, that's the little balance right now. People are like, well, they say we're in a recession, but does it really feel like one? You know, when we look around?
Yeah, I'm worried that basically, you know, we're just cooking up this bad recipe, and then at one point it's just gonna explode in our face. That's my concern. You know, again, don't mind being wrong, but that's the vibe that I'm getting.
Okay. Well, definitely. Thank you for having. Will you be back on the show?
Yeah, anytime. Let me know. I'm happy to be here. Sure.
Definitely glad to have you back. We'd definitely love to have you as a contributor to the show. For everybody who haven't done so already, how can people get in touch with you? How can people follow you? How can people get more information on you, Manna?
Well, you can follow us on Instagram, Tadris Capital. You can follow us on LinkedIn. And if you add me, you can get access to my email. You can also check out our website. TadrisCapital.com. Definitely please feel free to check out our live trades. The trades will speak for themselves, and that's precisely why we're sharing the trades. And if you want to reach out, you know, definitely send us an email on the website as well, contact@TadrisCapital.com.
All right, Manna, thank you for being on. Everybody that's out there, until the next video, podcast, cartoon, book, or whatever else crazy you see Prince doing around the globe, peace, be safe. I'm out, and thank you.
Thank you so much for watching ThinkTech Hawaii. If you like what we do, please like us and click the subscribe button on YouTube and the follow button on Vimeo. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and donate to us at thinktechhawaii.com.